Speaking through a series on the attributes of God, and as I've said many, many times, I don't think there's anything more important than knowing the Lord and knowing Him well. Because if you know Him well, you can handle the challenges of life, not in your strength, but in His strength. And I hope that what we consider tonight will be helpful. And let me just begin with the question, is God's will always done? Is everything that happens God's will? You know, those are challenging questions. Those are things that people struggle with. If I read it accurately, that there was a drone that was out in international waters and a Russian fighter was involved in hitting it or impacting it and bringing it down. Was that God's will? That U.S. drone would be knocked down, or I'm not sure that's the right way to say it, but impacted. Those are questions that we sometimes wonder about, and you can guess what our attribute is. What attribute are we looking at tonight? It's the attribute of God's will. And so I'm going to give a definition, and it's a little bit complicated. I'm going to skip the part in the parentheses, but I wanted to include it in case you just wanted to ponder it. This is coming from MacArthur's systematic. I'm looking at three or four typically. God's will is His perfect determination and sovereign ordination of all things pertaining both to Himself and to His creation, all unto the magnification of His utmost glory. I read that one more time. It's a lot. God's will is His perfect determination and sovereign ordination of all things, pertaining both to Himself and to His creation, all unto the magnification of His utmost glory. What does the Bible teach? The Bible teaches, number one, that God's will is the final or most ultimate reason for everything that happens. So the final, ultimate reason for whatever happens would be God's will. Ephesians chapter 1:11 says that God works all things after the counsel of His will. That would be everything is worked by the Lord according to His will. What does that include? It includes many things. Here's just a couple. It includes creation. Because the Bible says very clearly in Revelation 4:11, You, Lord, created all things, and because of Your will, they existed and were created. Every single thing that exists, why was it created? Because it was God's will to create it. So we know it includes creation. Secondly, it includes human government. And we have an Old Testament text and a New Testament text on that. Back in Daniel 4:32, the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever He wishes. What a thought. You say, why is our president our president? Because God willed it. Why is the president, I'm not sure that's the right term even, of Russia, the president or leader of Russia, Mr. Putin, I believe? It's because God willed it, according to Daniel 4:32. And that's also taught in the New Testament, Romans 13:1. There is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. So the Lord not only willed everything that was created, first example, and human government, and obviously you might be thinking, why human government? Because it's something we all struggle with, right? And these are challenging things. Thirdly, this includes all of the events of our lives. And James makes that very clear in chapter 4, verses 14 through 15. You do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. I was talking with a brother. He's here tonight. Don't want to mention his name, but he was sharing his testimony with a few of us just recently. And James was one of the first books of the Bible he ever read after coming to Christ. And this verse really got hold of him, and so he would share at work. Hey, everybody, I'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. Or we'll do this, Lord willing. And everybody started kind of teasing him, and they started calling him LW for Lord willing, all right? But it's a wonderful thought. Think about it. If the Lord wills, we will finish Bible study tonight and break up into prayer groups and then pray together and then go home, but only if the Lord wills. It includes all of the events of our lives. Fourth example, it includes our salvation. And James makes that clear in chapter 1, verse 18. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. I've always thought the NIV translation of that really made me think more of it. I put it up. Why am I a believer? He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. And there's a context there. It's talking about God's goodness. Never think that God's not good. You say, how do you know he's good? Here's the prime example. Because he chose to give us birth, right? Wonderful illustration. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I've had the joy of watching my three daughters be born, come out of my wife's body. And not one of them did it because they wanted to. Not one of my daughters said, yes, I did it, Dad. Okay? They were born. You say, why am I a believer? Because God wanted to give me birth. It was his will. It not only includes our salvation, guys, it includes the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible makes that very clear. I have here Acts 4, 27 through 8. For truly in this city there was gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you appointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand in your purpose predestined to occur. You say, who is the one who basically puts Jesus to death? Well, it's the Jews who appeal to the Romans, and the Romans thus are responsible through the Jews for putting Jesus to death and the events that led up to that. And you said, why did that happen? Because God purposed it. He predestined it. That was God's will. That's why it happened. So number one, God's will is the final or most ultimate reason for everything that happens. Obviously, that's kind of hard to put our minds around in many different ways, but it would be the teaching of the Scriptures. Number two, this comforts us. See, I always want to be spiritually encouraging and warm, even on our Wednesday nights. This comforts us in our times of suffering because even our pain has a purpose. So when we are struggling with the funeral of a loved one, a diagnosis that's severe, bad news that just rocks our boat, that we just prefer we're different, and we're facing trials and we're suffering, the doctrine of God's will is a comfort to us. I have here 1 Peter 3:17. It is better if God should will it so that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. So we shouldn't be suffering because we're out doing what's wrong. But the fact of the matter is, as we live for Christ and follow him, there are going to be times where we suffer and we're doing what's right. And we can take comfort that it's not meaningless. It's not random. It's not like I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. But I can be confident that my suffering is according to the will of God. The next chapter in Peter, and 1 Peter is written to suffering believers, chapter 4, verse 19, therefore those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. And that's in the context of the sufferings of Jesus. Just like Jesus did, what should we do? When we're going through times of suffering, we can be confident that it's God's will, and we can entrust our souls to a faithful Creator. And we don't come to wrong conclusions, like God doesn't love me, or God's forgetting me, or maybe God's not good. See, those are conclusions people come to who don't know the Lord. But we who know him, we entrust our souls to a faithful Creator because we realize that our suffering is according to the will of God. That's comforting to me. It's very comforting. So this comforts us in times of suffering. Even our pain has a purpose. Two cautions, and there's more than two, but we'll hit two. Two cautions related to God's will tonight. First of all, God is never the author of evil, and he does not take pleasure in evil. So you could say, is it true that God's will comes to pass? Yes. You say, does evil come to pass? Of course. Then God is the author of evil. That would be contrary to the clear teaching of Scripture. God is never the author of evil. He never takes pleasure in evil. Ezekiel 33:11, just one verse. As I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked turn from his way and live. Ezekiel 33:11. And then second caution, not only is God never the author of evil, he does not take pleasure in evil, God's sovereign will does not negate human responsibility. And you'll sometimes hear, especially younger people who haven't thought a lot about doctrine yet, which, you know, and I want to encourage them to think about it. When they first hear about God's sovereign will, they then come to very wrong conclusions, like it doesn't matter what I do, because they really don't understand that the Bible clearly teaches that we are responsible for the choices we make, even as God is sovereign. The Bible is very clear. No greater example that we could use than Acts 2:23 of the Lord Jesus Christ. This man, the Lord Jesus, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. Peter's preaching to the Jews. What does Peter say to the Jews? You nailed him to a cross by the hands of the Romans. You did this. It's on you, and you're responsible. And oh, by the way, Jesus' death, it was by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. And a lot of people say, wait a second, if Jesus' death was according to the predetermined plan of God, then the people who killed him are not responsible. That would be incorrect. They are responsible. They killed him because they wanted to kill him. You say, okay, then if they're responsible for the choice that they made, then it can't be according to the predetermined plan of God. And I would simply say you don't know the Scriptures well, because the Bible teaches both of those things very clearly. So embracing the idea, the doctrine of God's sovereign will in no way negates human responsibility. The Bible clearly teaches both. God has a will, and his will is the final or most ultimate reason for everything that happens. You can respond differently, but if you know him well, you'll embrace it, and you'll love it as I've come to love it, because I can be completely confident that my Father, my Heavenly Father, just happens to run the whole universe, and he's good, and he loves me, which means even when things happen to me that I don't like, and that does happen, and even when I suffer, not as much as some of you have suffered, but even in my smaller ways, when I suffer, what a great comfort to know that, Lord, you're in control of everything. Your will is being done, and I can trust you even in the difficult times. I hope that'll encourage you tonight. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful that we can look tonight at yet another attribute, tonight your will. Not claiming to fully understand it, confessing that there's certainly a tension sometimes as we seek to embrace different truths and struggle to understand how they can relate to one another. And yet we're so glad that we don't have to completely understand to believe. We are so grateful for the clarity of your word on this topic, and we pray it would encourage all of us as we talk about it more tonight, even as we dismiss in a moment to prayer. All for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.